If I have to pick out my favorite gospel, it would be this one. This fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful reflection on conversion, on drawing to our Lord, on listening to the words of our Lord. Now, we know as Christians that we've been given many great gifts in our lives, and I'm sure many of us could probably name a few if we were really pressed on it. But how often do we stop and think about the gifts God has given us? And how often do we praise Him for those gifts? Now, I'm not just talking about physical gifts as in health or the money we might have through our job or the possessions we might have or even our family, but the gift of salvation which we've been given through our Lord. And how do we respond to those gifts that we've been given? You know, we look at the second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're reminded of those gifts that we were given by God. Now again, this is more than just our material things, more than just the stuff we have here on earth. You know, first of all, St. Paul reminds us that we're justified by faith, that we're drawn into union with God, and we're put in right relationship with Him through our faith in God and through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, St. Paul reminds us that we receive God's peace. We receive His peace and His love. By faith, we have His grace. We receive that free gift from Him that leads us into eternal life. We also have the Holy Spirit and the love of God which comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Finally, and most importantly, St. Paul reminds us that we have the death of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sins, so that we might enter into that salvation. But how often do we stop and really think about these gifts? Because these are truly great gifts which we have. The gospel reading shows us not only about how to look at these gifts, but how to respond. Once we have stopped and looked at them, we should look at the example of the Samaritan woman at how to respond. Now, in the eyes of the Jewish people, she had two strikes against her. First of all, she was a Samaritan. And the Jews and the Samaritans, they don't meet. They don't ever. You know, it mentions in the gospel that Jews and Samaritans didn't use anything in common. That's mild. Jews had nothing but contempt for the Samaritans. So that was one strike against her. And then the second strike was that she was an outcast to the rest of her community. You notice it was the middle of the day and she was coming to the well. Now, this is a desert region, so it was hot during the middle of the day. You don't go to the well during the middle of the day. You go during the morning. And that's when most of her community would actually go to the well. But because she was an outcast, she went during the middle of the day. She went at noon. And the reason, of course, for her being an outcast was because of her relationships with men, her multiple divorces, her remarriage multiple times, and then now living with another man. It almost sounds like some people in the world today. We have a lot of people in the world today that they're having this kind of situation, multiple remarriages, multiple divorces, living with others, you know, living as husband and wives, even though they're not married. Shows that things haven't quite changed as much as we think they have in the past 2,000 years, have they? Well, in response to this woman, meeting this woman at the well, Jesus offers her His love and His salvation. He offers her Himself, the same offering He makes to us. He offers to her living water. Now, living water, if you know what this is, you figure a cistern is just, you know, a large dugout hole where water, rainwater, would accumulate. And then the water would stay there and they can draw it off as they need to. Well, living water is water that is actually moving. In other words, like a river or a stream or a spring that's actually moving. It's living. Well, that living water in our lives is the saving grace we receive through the sacrament of baptism. It's grace from our God that we receive throughout our entire lives. Our Lord offers it to her. And how does she respond to this offer? By going to town and telling others about Christ and bringing others to our Lord, by bringing others to believe in Him. Well, we have the same mercy and love of God which our Lord offers to her and which flowed through her. But how do we respond to that offer. You know, we've got that spring of living water, that spring of God's saving grace flowing in us and flowing through us, welling up in our souls. Do we drink from it daily by taking time every day to pray, to spend time in the presence of God? Even just a few minutes of quiet, listening to God in our lives. As Christians, we've heard the words of our Lord. We've heard the words of Christ from others. You know, maybe we heard it from our parents telling us about their faith. Maybe we hear it from our friends who are also believers. And of course, we hear it here at Mass within the parish. Do we listen to those words? And do we respond to those words? You know, unfortunately, some Catholics are Catholic because we've always been Catholic. Not because we believe in those words that we've heard, but because my family was Catholic and my friends are Catholic. And, you know, I like them fish fries. They're pretty good. So I think I'll stay in the Catholic Church. Is that why we're Catholic? Or have we become convinced that the Catholic Church has the truth which Christ revealed? The same truth which Christ revealed to this Samaritan woman. And do we allow every moment of our lives to be influenced by the teachings of the Catholic Church? You know, it's easy for us as Catholics to go through the motions. You know, we come to Mass every Sunday or every Saturday night, and we stand where we're supposed to stand, and we say what we're supposed to say, but we don't really follow it. We don't really believe it. We don't allow it to influence our lives. Do we worship what we don't understand in the words of the gospel today? Or do we enter into the worship of God in spirit and in truth, allowing this worship, allowing the Mass, allowing our prayer to move our entire lives, to influence and to change our lives? Most importantly, and this is vital for us as Christians, have we entered into Christ's love so deeply that we bring others to him as the woman did at the well? What we truly love, we share with others. You know, we have no qualms about talking about our rankings on the NCAA tournament. We have no qualms about talking about our jobs. But do we talk about our faith? Do we talk about our love for Christ? If Christ is the most important part of our lives, as he should be, we should not be reluctant to share our faith with others. Now, we don't want to hit people over the head with it. We don't want to club people with our faith. We don't want to force people into our faith. We can't do that. But we want to share our faith. We need to share our faith, share our love for Jesus Christ. The woman in the well was willing to do so. May we also be willing to share that which we love, to share our faith, and to praise God for the gifts that he's given us.